So in order to realize our declaration use analysis, we have identified the core problem now as having rapid access to the actual declaration. So there's two things in there. For one, there's the aspect of being more quick and the aspect of doing the actual binding to the declaration. So first of all, there is the idea of the rapid access, which means that, well, in our case, the idea would be to not do tedious handling of strings, but instead introduce a unique integer for each string that is consistently used throughout our abstract syntax tree, and use it as a key in a string table, and then do all the computations on these integers instead of or do the management on the integers instead of the strings, because you can more easily quickly compare them for equality or non-equality. Yeah. And the other idea would be to do this, to find out about this binding. So you link the usage of a variable to its declaration. Yeah. And well, this is quite widespread throughout programming languages. However, there is a few that don't have explicit declarations. For those, you then create an implicit declaration when the variable is first encountered. So let's tackle the first problem of rapid access. For that, what we said we would need is replacing the strings in an abstract syntax tree consistently with integers. Yeah. So you usually get run through the source code of the program, for example, during scanning or parsing, where you get presented all the strings that you encounter for identifiers. So essentially you get a sequence of strings, and what you should compute out of that is a corresponding sequence of numbers and a table that allows to do the retranslation of this number to the string. Yeah. Usually you'd like to do that during scanning already, so that you don't have to bother with another run on the input a little bit later on. Yeah. So how can you solve such a problem usually? Well, you would manage a counter variable that would keep book on the number of distinct identifiers that you have seen so far, in order to give a new number as soon as you meet a new found identifier, then you increase that number. And what you also need is, of course, some kind of mapping of strings to integers, and that can be, for example, done with a hash table that maps strings to integers. Yeah. And if you have both of these concepts, what you can easily do is that whenever you encounter an identifier during scanning, what you do is you put that into index for identifier function, and then just check whether there is an entry for that string already in the hash table. If there is none, then you would add that to the hash table, so you would map to the new count value and then increment the count value, or else just return the content that is, or the value that is associated with the string key. Yeah, so this is not overly complicated, as long as you have access to a hash table that maps strings to int. So in order for that to somehow work, you need to have a concept for hashing strings somehow. So let's think about that a little bit. Usually you allocate an array m of sufficient size, lowercase m, for a hash table. So this is generic, you always have to do that. And then you need a so-called hash function that then maps string to an index within the bounds of the size of the underlying array. Yeah, so with you map to a number from 0 to m minus 1, essentially. What you additionally want from that hash function is that the hash function is actually cheap, because Otherwise, you might just use the actual string for comparison and all that. And also what you would like is that H distributes the occurring words equally over the range of 0 to m minus 1. So what could you use for something like that? And there's a few that directly come to mind. Yeah. So, for example, there is for generic sequence types that consist of sub-elements. Like, for example, a string. Is a sequence of characters usually. So, what comes to mind is that you can use a few of these characters that you consider to be characteristic for that particular sequence value to contribute to the actual hash value. And for example, what is out there that somehow works for a lot of these values is that you just take the first value x0 out of the sequence and the last value xr-1, add them and consider them just as values modulo the number of slots that your array has. Yeah, and with that you get a very, very simple, quite cheap to compute hash function out of that. Yeah, and with that, you're already, in principle, fulfilling these things. The question is whether this gives you a distribution that is equal enough over the whole range of numbers. If you're not particularly satisfied with that, the most precise thing that you can do for your strings is that you can consider all the elements of such a sequence. Yeah, and you can do so by adding them up piece by piece and to make each of them have an actual characteristic influence on the actual equal distribution over all possible values. What you usually do is you don't just straight away add them, but you add them multiplied by a particular prime number, and thus in their bit representation shift them more and more and more to the right. So you get a very, very large number out of that, and from that you then take the modular view on that with respect to m, and this works best if your prime number is large enough to cover all the possible values that each of these sequence elements can have. So the most precise thing would be, for example, for the case of these strings, to choose a prime number that is larger than the number of possible characters. And then just perform this summation term that you see here. Yeah? However, this of course is, although it might be very precise and very, very equal distributing, that's not so cheap to compute anymore. And practical implementations might take whatever route you can imagine. Maybe just take a few sample elements from the sequence, like a middle character also, or just each 13th character or anything. That just depends on what your hash function of choice would be. Yeah, but in principle, there's two initial proposals for hash functions already here. What you, of course, should have in mind with that is that this hash function is not guaranteed to be unique for each and every string value that you can put in there. Well, that's, I guess, probably implicit, since you have this modular view on each of the values that you compute there. And if your string, the number of strings that you're treating is sufficiently high, then you will usually exceed the number of available memory slots there. So that's not the end of the world. What you can then instead do is you can just manage in the slots for your hash table, not the actual values, but instead lists of the actual values together with their numbers here. And in order to find the index for a particular string, what you then have to do is you have to compute the hash function for that string. With that, you obtain access to the list, which you can then search for the actual occurrence of the string W in order to then obtain its according index. Yeah, so that's how you then would access that. And on average, that will then generate you inserts of cost one and lookups of cost one. Yeah. As an example, what you then get out of that is you can then use that for replacing strings with integers. For example, the input that you see here, just like quite a lengthy one, what you have to pay attention to is like the identifiers that, or the strings that occur multiple times, like Peter, for example, also Piper, for example, and for sure, where Piper's also here, and Peter's also here, and there's a lot of other double occurrences of variables in there, and you see that in the output, there's also the numbers reoccurring in case that they reoccur in the input. Yeah, so Peter is like the first the and in the output it's again where is it? The input it's there, so it's here number 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and in here it's 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and on position 9 you have the same number reoccurring as at index 0. Yeah, and that's what the whole thing should do, and that is achieved by the following hash table over here, that in the following association of names with numbers and the underlying hash table, for example, for a size of 7 and just the hash function H0, so the quick but dirty one. And you see that there's none of these lists is longer than 3, which is quite reasonable, I would say.